Final hour, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now, springhillac.com. You'll need it for these hot days here in Nashville. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We look forward to this every Thursday at this time. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. He now joins us. Boy, yesterday they were drunk in Columbus. May have been drunk around the league. There was a lot of goofiness going on. Some crazy, crazy deals. A lot of money being spent. What stood out to you the most? I know that's open-ended and crazy,
yeah.
but what did you make? And I know you were all over the place yesterday, so good job with your coverage.
You.
But what did you make of it?
Oh, I mean, the biggest story is the Goodrow and the Columbus, just because it's kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, one of the things I think that happened, guys, was I got a couple texts in the afternoon saying, watch Columbus today, watch Columbus today.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, you guys have been in this position before when you're doing these shows. You think you know something, but you're not sure, and you've got that doubt, and you're saying, I do not have enough guts right now to do this, to put yourself out there like this. Because nobody would tell me yes or no. And when that happens, there's two things going through your head. There's I'm right, or it's, and nobody wants to deny it to me or lie to me or talk to me, or it's people are really busy and they can't get back to me, which definitely can happen on that day. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I think I'm right, but I don't want to be wrong. And so at about 3:25 your time yesterday, I did a hit with NHL Network where I mentioned I heard Columbus had talked to Goodrow. I kind of softly introduced it that way. And then it started to pick up steam. And then whenever it was, about 10 minutes before I tweeted it, I was pretty sure he was going there. And then I knew for sure about 10 seconds before I tweeted it. But the whole thing I was going through my head is, can this be real? Like, is this really happening? And as we saw by the fact you put on a jersey about an hour ago, it's really happening.
David Poile kind of laid out with us on this show what kind of they were going to be in the market for. And seeing the contracts that went out there yesterday, we knew why nothing was being done on the Predators' end. But the one that we're perplexed on, the one that I've already admitted on the show today, I understand all these moves, and while there are guys that I were interested in, you see what they got, it's like, okay, yeah, that was not realistic and that was not happening here. The only one that I've admitted that I probably, and I've already admitted that I may have thrown something across the room at, is Max Pacioretty just giving away to Carolina. And I thought that was the move for the Predators. If they were looking for that one-year guy and a team was giving him away, but we don't know the parameters behind the scenes. Was Vegas only going to talk to Eastern Conference teams? So do you know, can you lend some insights on how he ended up in Carolina and maybe not Nashville?
Well, I would, first of all, he has a 10-team no trade. So I don't know who's on it. Now,
okay.
I would have to say, guys, I would be surprised if Nashville was on it. Generally, I don't think Nashville's on too many no trade, especially if you've only got 10 teams. I would be surprised if Nashville was on it, especially since Nevada and Tennessee are both no-tax states. I would be surprised. But, yes, I think that would also be a big part of it. Look, like, they don't want Pacioretty torturing them in the same conference or in a playoff series. Now, if it happens in the Stanley Cup Final, you can deal with that a bit more because you're in the Stanley Cup Final. But, you know, if you're Vegas, you don't want to see Pacioretty in, like, a crossover first-round series or anything like that. So I do think the Eastern Conference would have a lot to do with it. I also have to think that, like, that Dylan Coughlin, he's not like a well-known player, but he's a decent young defenseman. I wondered if that was part of it. Like, they had to give up the player too. And looking at your blue line, I'm just not sure that you guys would have had as much of a use for that. But I would bet that the Western Eastern Conference thing would be a huge fact in that. And without knowing for sure, I would be surprised if you guys were on a 10-team no-trade list, though. Hmm.
I think Nino Niederreiter, Elliot, fits what the Predators do.
Yeah. You
know, what he brings on the ice, obviously he would be a massive upgrade production-wise on the second line, but I like the, you know, the edge that he brings, the style of play. That fits into what they're looking for under John Hines, but here he sits, you know, still nothing happened, which suggests to me, like, is his price tag too high? What do you think? Where is the Niederreiter right now, in your opinion, as we sit here
today? I heard Blues yesterday, but then somebody told me that wasn't the case. You know, I think the toughest thing right now, guys, is that, you know, Goodrow was going to get his money, and he did, but his market wasn't, like, it used to be. Johnny Goodrow was on the market, there'd be 20 teams going after him. You know how many teams were serious about him? Three. And one of them was Calgary. Hmm. The other was Columbus, and the other was Jersey. Like, there were a bunch of teams that either passed, like Philly, or just couldn't get anywhere close to where, you know, the three other teams did. And I think what we're seeing here is a big squeeze. A big squeeze. And I just think that some of these players, and I bet Niederreiter is one of them, and I don't think he's the only one. Like, I think this has happened to John Klingberg, too. I think that you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, in the past the market's been this, I'm going to be fine. And now we're finding out, oh boy, like, the market's really tight. So, like, some guys hit it out of the park. Goodrow did. Vinny Trocheck, for example, did. But I think there's a lot of other guys who are like, ooh, wow, like, this is tight. And I think it's been a little bit tight for some of these players. Niederreiter would be one of them. And I think now you're probably looking at a situation and saying, I better make sure that if I'm going to take something short term, that it's a situation where I can be successful, and you really break it down and pick at it. And I'm sure he's going through that right now. I think, first of all, I think you guys are going in the right direction. Secondly, I think it's a really good place to play. Thirdly, as you know, like, players that have a bit of an edge, like Niederreiter does, like, that works in Nashville. I think there's a lot of good things there, but I bet you he's sitting there and saying, if I'm going to take a shorter deal or a lesser deal, I better make sure it's in the right spot.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, again, trying to read what David Poile told us the other day. His concern is next year, with the cap only going up $1 million. You've got Tanner Janot. Yep. You've got Alex Carrier. You would figure you're going to invest in those guys. Dante Fabro is up, who's already at 2.4. And this year you got to deal with Yakov Trenin. So he was kind of laying it out. And basically he said, look, I'm looking at a short-term deal. But they've got a decent budget for that. So sitting back and looking for guys you might get 1 year, I'm curious about the situation in Vancouver. They signed the Russian kid from Toronto.
Mikheyev.
So they're over the cap. They've been shopping around JT Miller. What's the market like for a trade for JT Miller for 1 year right now? Or is it only going to be to a team that wants to re-up him long-term?
No, I don't think there's any rules there. First of all, I'm a big JT Miller guy. I love the way he plays. I really do. You know, he's a bit of his personality is definitely edgy. There's no question about that. And he really has a major presence in a room. But, you know, I mean, that's not a big deal. We all deal with edgy people all the time. I really like Miller a lot. I think Vancouver is looking to clear space, and I think you guys could really handle that. But I think they're asking a lot. And, first of all, I should have probably considered this earlier. I think he'd be a perfect fit for you guys. I really do. I just think the Canucks, like, for example, we had heard during the year that they were talking with the Rangers, and the names were being thrown around were like Filip Hedl and Kaapo Kakko and Braden Schneider, who the Rangers didn't want to give up, and that was one of the reasons the deal fell apart. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, it's been rumored that Vancouver is looking for. So I think you would have to see, do you guys have a package like that which could entice them? Now, the one thing that really could help you here is if you're not looking to extend Miller, I think Vancouver has been very, very wary, extremely wary of allowing anyone permission to talk to him about an extension. If it's happened, like as of the draft last week, I don't think it had happened. Now, there had been some sense that maybe Vancouver might change their mind on that issue, but I don't know that it's happened. But if you're just looking at him as a one-year guy, I think that would be a perfect fit. But understand that that's the kind of trade that the Canucks have been looking at.
You've joked many times over the years how crafty the Lightning are with their cap. But now that they've done all of this, the re-upping of the three younger core guys, can they keep Alex Killorn? Or is he a guy that you could maybe get for 1 year?
No, I think don't forget that those extensions don't kick in for another season, and Killorn's only got 1 year left on his deal, right?
Correct. So, but they're still over the cap, they're over the cap as we speak now, aren't they?
I think you could get Killorn. I think the preference is, I heard that the preference is to keep him for one more season and then kind of go where you are from there. But, you know, I'll tell you this. I had mentioned about a week ago on my last notes, I knew McDonough was getting traded. I had mentioned that possibly Killorn, and someone said to me, not so fast. It's not a guarantee that Killorn gets moved. So I would. What do you want to say, 50-50? I don't know. I just was told it's not a guarantee he gets traded.
Hmm. What's the market for Dylan Strome right now, who unexpectedly is out there?
I would say that I think there's a lot of teams talking to him. I think it's just, you know, I think there's two things that Dylan Strome is looking for. One, fit, and two, best deal he can get. Because, look, like he came out of a situation where he had a big end of the year and he was let go. So I think fit is going to be very important to him. I heard there were a lot of teams that have called him, a lot of them. Like there's a lot of competition for him, but everyone, of course, is trying to steal him, right?
No question. What about Paul Stastny? What's he got left in the tank, and is he got a market right now?
I heard that Paul Stastny would not be going on the first day of free agency, and that turned out to be true. It's good that something I said was actually true.
File that away. It's always good.
Yeah, I heard he was not going on the first day of free agency. He was going to kind of see where the dust settled and go from there, and I think that's exactly what he was going to look. All I heard about Stastny is he wants to play for a contender. Like, wherever he goes, he wants to play for a team he thinks has a chance to win. I wouldn't be surprised, depending on what happens with Nazem Kadri, if maybe he ends up back in Denver. I know that's always a possibility. But I heard he was going to look at situations where he thought the team had a chance to win, and that was his top priority.
And finally, you have mentioned on your podcast that you've thought that there has, at least at one time or another, been interest with the Predators and Phil Kessel. What is that a guy that's maybe going to be sitting back waiting to see how the dust settles?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I didn't hear a lot about Kessel lately. You know, maybe that was just a thing at the trade deadline that never materialized, and maybe it doesn't happen. But I didn't hear a lot about Kessel yesterday.
Last thing, Elliot, on the way out. You know, we're kind of in a bourbon whiskey area. You know, where we are in Tennessee, and
I've heard about this. I've heard about this rumor, yes.
Yeah, and I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not sure if that's the case up in Columbus. Maybe they did a bar crawl yesterday. Look, we really liked him here, but the one that we are completely confused on, how does Eric Gudbranson get 4 years at $4 million per? How much bourbon was consumed for that deal? I mean, nice guy, but 4 years – at $4 million per year, like what planet was Columbus thinking where he was going to get that anywhere else?
Well, I got to tell you, I was amazed. But first of all, I'm happy for Gudbranson because, as you guys say, he's a great guy.
He is.
Legitimately, I worked a telethon with him once. Just a
super nice guy. Yes.
Yeah. Number two, I'm always happy to see people get paid, so I'm not a jealous person. I was shocked by that one, too.
Okay.
The one thing I knew was that Columbus was looking for, they got a lot of young guys on their team, and they traded for Olivier from you guys, right? So they were looking, they were worried that their young guys were getting pushed around. They felt they were a really soft team a bit last year. Actually, I don't like to use the word soft. I think they, because I don't want to say that they did that. I think they felt that they were pushed around last year. and they didn't want that again. Like, Jarmo Kekäläinen, like, he, nobody pushes him around. Nobody pushes Brad Larsen around. They look like a wrestling tag team. I think they just wanted to make their team a little bit tougher. Now, there must have been competition for Gudbranson. That's, you know, he did have a good year in a limited role last year, and Columbus will have to be careful with that. But I was surprised that deal. But like you guys said, I'm really happy for him. And I just have to say, I'm glad as we wrap up for the season. I'm glad that I was correct that they were going to get it done. I'm just sorry that there was so much anxiety for all you guys on the way.
How much airtime did we
dedicate to that question?
To that question.
And David Poile. That's like hours. That's like shows. Hours,
Elliot,
and hours.
We always
and
talk
hours.
About the percentage of a team's salary cap. I think the percentage of our time with you, we had to be like 23% Forsberg for the season, didn't we?
Yeah, it was up there, but you know, I'm just glad that my instinct was right. It took a lot longer than I wanted. I think it took a lot longer than Forsberg wanted. I think it took a lot longer than the Predators wanted. And I know it took a lot longer than the fans wanted, but I always believed it was going to get done. I thought the eighth year and the tax advantage and his history with the Predators was going to do it. But boy, was that closer than I thought it was going to be.
No doubt about it. And in all seriousness, we really, really appreciate another fantastic year with you. We look forward to it every Thursday. Our listeners do as well. And so we always appreciate you carving out a little time here for this market. And so thanks again. As always, have a great summer, and we'd love to do it again if you're up for it.
Well, you know, next year, you guys, like, I'm not the guy who gets to make hiring and firing decisions like you guys are. So if you want me back, I like doing it once a week with you guys. So if you want me back, I'm happy to come back, and hope you guys have a great summer, and that goes all the same for all the great hockey fans in Nashville.
Thank you, Elliot. Really appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Elliot Friedman, he's the best. Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Check out that podcast. It's fantastic stuff. We will come back. Some things to unpack after that interview with Elliot. We'll do that on the other side here on the DDC. 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.